My name is Tom B. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Friday night, Avon Lake. Little town 17 miles west of Cleveland, right on Lake Erie. My sobriety date is July the 5th, 1962. So I'm pulling from 35 years of experiences, and that's what I'm here to do. Best thing I know that one drunk helping another is share your strength, hope, and experience. My wife says, Tom, you jump around so much lately and you lead. I notice you're talking about today, then you're talking about 40 years ago, and then you're talking about today, and you're talking about 10 years ago. And she says, I can follow you. I lived it. But she says, there's people out there who don't know us. They may not be able to follow you. I says, honey, I'm talking alcoholics. And they're not wrapped too tight. Alcoholics, we don't have much trouble communicating. It isn't a language from the brain, it's a language from the heart. I'm up here trying to get back what was given to me, and that's something called hope. I see some new people coming with their sponsors and people meeting them and shaking their hands, and they're happy to see them. And boy, you're new and you think, wow, these people really, really treat me good. You're darn right we treat you good. We know you just left hell. And we'll do whatever we have to do to help you not go back. We'll show you what we had to do to stay the hell out of there. So I'm up here to do the same thing. I'm here to give back. And hope to God that there's some nut out there that was as crazy as I was when I got here. And he's saying to himself, yeah, it may work for them, but it won't work for me. I'm different. Now, where you are, we were. And the great secret is you don't have to stay there. That's what we're doing here. Trying to help each other stay sober today. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and drinking was a way of life. My dad's an admitted alcoholic. My dad died an alcoholic death in Florida. I spent 3 days with him and watched him die. It isn't pretty. Man that weighed 200 pounds was 6'1". I seen him, he weighed about 90 pounds. His guts gone, everything was gone. His liver was gone. Thanks to this program, I had the opportunity to help. That's what this program showed me how to do, showed me how to help. Drinking was a way of life. I don't know when I took my first drink. My dad worked in the shipyards. They used to get paid on Friday nights, and my mother would take my sister and I down to the local bar. They played shuffleboard, sang songs about the old country. I used to think, my God, how great it was in Ireland. Half of them never seen Ireland. And even then I knew there was something wrong. It was so damn good in Ireland, why'd they leave? Live in Brooklyn in a sandstone building and work in the shipyards wherever they could do. Got into some trouble in early age. Instead of going upstate, I went into the service. I spent 4 years in the service. And there's no service stories. No service stories, people. I went in a private, and 4 years later, I come out a private. I used to celebrate every time I got a promotion. I go to town, and I just never went back. Whenever I got drinking, it was party time. That's how I went back. It's when I was broke. So you get discharged, and you get back home, and you get through the legal drinking years. You're getting rehabilitated to civilian life. And where do you get rehabilitated? You get rehabilitated in neighborhood bar. I was cut in a bar fight in San Francisco. My dad told everyone in the neighborhood that I was wounded in Korea. I don't know where Korea is. I couldn't find Korea on a map. But that was the story, and I walked in a neighborhood bar. I loved it. I could go into a bar on a Monday with a dollar and drink all week. Everybody in the neighborhood, oh, there's Frank's son. He had it rough over there. Send him down to drink. They had drinks lined up in front of me. One of the old-timers come down about 12 o'clock, puts his arm around your shoulder. Gee, Tom, I heard you had it rough over there. How did it happen? I just put my head down, so well, the doctor said I shouldn't talk about that. What the hell are you going to tell him? You're not going to make a liar out of Dad, and if he's buying a drink, she'll tell him anything he wants to hear. I don't know any alky that won't. I don't know any alky that won't be what he has to be at the time. Alkies. Oh, God. I had a nurse tell me about alkies. I'll never forget it. It just stick. Things stick with you over there. My sponsor was a great believer in going up to hospitals and talking to patients. Well, before the insurance came in, you didn't have much choice. You took them to Sophie Farguson's or Stella Maris or some dive. Maybe Sister Ignatia would take them up at St. Thomas, but you didn't have much places to go. Then the insurance came in, and they came in so fast that they started the hospital so fast, they didn't have the room. So they put the Alkies in with the mental patients. Two West out in Lorain. And my sponsor, we used to go up and talk to them every week. One week he called me and said, I'm only sober a short time, but you did what you were told. But you just, you didn't question. Tom, I can't make it. I'm tied up tight in the drum. Go up and talk to the patients. I said, okay, Jay, I'll go up. And I went up to Two West. The nurse met me. She said, Tom, are you here for the AA meeting? And I says, yeah. She says, I'll get the patients. And she walked down a long hall. And she tapped one guy on the shoulder and walked by, tap another one, walked by, tap another one. Finally, she got 10 or 12 guys. She said, go down to the TV room. We're going to have an AA meeting. And I grabbed her. I says, how do you know who to tap and who not to tap? How do you separate the mental patients from the alcoholics? Do they wear badges? Or? She says, oh, no, it's easy, Tommy. And she says, it's no problem. I says, well, I've been sober a little while, and I can't tell the difference. She says, well, you got to be here 3 days. She says, we carry them all in. At the end of 3 days, you see the ones walking down the hall, kind of quiet and sedate and to themselves. I says, yeah. She's there, the mental patients. Do you see the ones in the office telling us how to run the hospital? Huh? You got it. Alkies, boy, we're quick forgetters, aren't we? Do you realize if you're an alcoholic and you're laughing at yourself? Do you know how great it is to laugh at yourself? You tell a joke about an alkie in a bar, he'll punch your lights out. We're very thin-skinned people. We don't like that. We come here, we learn how to laugh at ourselves. We come to find out we're not the center of the universe. You get to learn how to live kind of where it kind of lights. It's a great way to go, people. It's a great way to go. Learn how to grow up. Laugh at yourself. Well, anyway, I'm home. I don't know. Time. This is not a day trip, people. I'm trying to take you from the fun years to the sick years to the dying years. And I'm trying to get there fast so we can get into the good stuff. We can get into the learning how to live sober. But in order to do that, you have to know where I come from. A drunk isn't interested in what you know or what you read. He wants to know you. He wants to know if you lived it, if you know how he feels. Never was impressed by what people knew. I was impressed by them. I watched them. Most alkies do. I was asked to leave, and I got on a bus. I was coming out here to California. I was going to go to Riverside. I was discharged in Riverside in 1951. And I kind of liked it out here then. I was going to come back out and make my fortune in California. I was going to send money back to the poor people in Brooklyn. Isn't he a great guy? Drink and dream. Yeah, screwy. Son of a gun, you. And they had a rest stop in a town called Lorain, Ohio. I seen the bars up the street. I got off the bus and I went up the street and I stopped having a few drinks. That was 1952. I'm still in Lorain, Ohio. I get in qualifying right there. Whenever I drink, everything leaves. Buses, clothes, cars, wives, houses, jobs. Everything leaves when I drink. There's something wrong with me. They call it alcoholism. I don't care what you call it. I'm allergic to booze. I take one drink right now, and I can't tell you where I'll be at midnight. I'll tell you, I'm sober better than 35 years. I won't promise anyone in this room I'll be sober tomorrow. I won't do it. I'll be sober till midnight tonight, and we'll play tomorrow by ear the same way I've been doing it. It's a good way to go for me, the way I was taught. Bus leaves, clothes leave, I'm almost broke, so I call home for money. Dad, I'm in this town and I'm almost broke. If you send me a few bucks, Dad, I'll send it back 100-fold. My dad was talking to people in AA. Hey, I got this son that's nutty in a jibber when he drinks. What can I do to help him? Frank, you want to help him? Yeah, don't help him. What the hell kind of advice is that? Let him wake up enough jails. Let him beat his head in against enough walls. Let him get to the point where he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let him get to the point where for a couple of seconds he gets honest with himself. He says, hey, maybe it's me. Then we'll break our backs to help him, Frank. But till then, let the clown finish his act. If I learned anything in this program, I learned one thing in 35 years. This is not for people who need it. It's for people who wanted it. I needed it years before I wanted it. You could have sent 100 AAs to my house every Saturday. I would have yesed them to death. Just get the hell out of the house so I can go to the corner. But when I wanted it, when I was living in the streets and hurting, boy, oh, what do I have to do? Felt a whole different attitude. I'm ready. I'm ready. Talk about bottoms. Bottom isn't a physical place. It's a mental place. You can hit that at 16 or 60. Bottoms when you're afraid and don't know what the hell you're afraid of, huh? Bottoms when you wake up and you wish to God you didn't wake up. Bottoms you wake up in jail, you don't remember how you got there or why you're there, huh? You live in fear. Doom. My dad hangs up, says goodbye and good luck. I go to one of the joints, I get drinking, and some guy says they needed chemical engineers at a chemical company there in a small town. So I went for an interview and I got the job. Now I'm a chemical engineer. I can't spell chemical engineer. While working there, I met a young lady. My God, the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. She invited me to her house for dinner. We just celebrated 45 years of marriage. Don't clap, believe me. If the shoe was on the other foot, it wouldn't have lasted 45 days. No alky in this room can take what he dished out. If she would have pulled one stunt that I pulled, the door would have been nailed shut. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. Thank God. I get into AA, you're going to say, boy, that guy loves AA. And when I get in Al-Anon, you're going to say, boy, that guy loves Al-Anon. You're damn right I love Al-Anon. It gave my wife a brain back. I don't know what it was like in your house. In my house, by the time I got here, my wife was ready for straps. She couldn't add two and two. I beat her down. We're good at that. I beat her down so bad mentally she didn't know whether she was coming or going. When she was 26, she looked 60. Now she's well over 60. She looks 26 to me. Thank you, Al-Anon. This young lady invited me to her house for dinner. I went to her house for dinner, met her mother. Her mother and I hit it off. It was great. Still do. Still do. She's living in our house. She had lungs filled up again with fluid, and they don't expect her to live. But this happened a year and a half ago, and I went to the hospital. I said, Mom, I got tickets for Las Vegas. And she snapped right out of that hospital bed. Boom! I think she's got a problem, boy. You put her. We were up in Denver, Colorado, near Denver, Deadwood or some damn place, but we were up in the mountains, 8,000 feet. She's pulling the slot machines, turning blue. Girl, come over. She says, oh, don't worry. We have that happen a lot. I'll go get the oxygen. They put an oxygen on her. They called an ambulance, and she says, the hell with the ambulance. Just give me the tank and leave me alone. I think she's got a problem. I don't know. This young lady was in nurse's training, and I used to take her to work in the morning. I worked nights, and I used to pick her up at her house, take her to work, take her to breakfast, take her to work, go to my room, sleep, pick her up at night, take her to dinner. I wouldn't let her out of my sight. I knew I had a class act, and I wasn't letting it go. The dad was a pipe fitter welder by trade. He was working out of town down the river, and he come home one during the holidays. He said to me, let's go up the corner, have a few drinks, get to know one another. It sounds good to me. We went up the corner, and we got drinking, and we got along great. We got drinking, and we got talking, and we got laughing about midnight. He says, Tom, will you do me a favor? As you name it, Walt, you got it. He says, never come near my home or my daughter again. I said, what are you talking about? We get along wonderful. I thought we do. I'll drink with you anytime, but I don't want you mixed up with my daughter. You drink too much. I said, what do you mean I drink too much? You drink and drink for drink with me. That's why I know. I put my family through hell with this booze. You think I want my daughter going through it with something like you? I said, I'm going to marry your daughter. He's over my dead body. I said, if need be. And the lights went out. He broke my nose. Boom. An hour later, down in the hospital, sewn up his eye, his mouth, my nose. It's a mess. 3 days later, I married his daughter. Don't tell an alky not to do something. Go to work drunk, lose the job. Here I am in a strange town with a wife, no nothing, no job, no nothing. What can the poor guy do? He takes me into Cleveland, gets me started with the pipe fitters, and I started the pipe fitter apprenticeship. And we took a new two-car garage, and we made a little honeymoon cottage out of it. We took the front door off, we put the windows in the door, and a space heater and bathroom and bedroom. And the deal is, as soon as Tom starts making better money, we're going to build our house in the suburbs, live happily ever after. 4 children, and 7 years later, we're still in the cottage. And I'm a journeyman now. And when I'm working, I'm making a pretty decent buck. But the more I make, the more I drink. I used to drink on Friday, Saturday, sober up Sunday, go to work Monday. Now it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, go to work Tuesday, get paid on Wednesday, never make Thursday. Wake up in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, never knew where I was going to wake up. Corner, in the car, in the driveway, up in the corner park, on the kitchen floor. Used to wake up on the kitchen floor a lot. And she'd come out in the morning and say, Tom, I need some money for groceries. I don't have any money for groceries. So I did the only thing I know how to do. I used to attack. Damn it, I drank when I married you. I'm going to continue. Rah, rah, rah. You're not going to make me like that neighbor. I had a neighbor. I hated his guts. He was normal. Biggest thing in his life was his grass. Every Saturday morning, he'd be out mowing the damn grass. You ever have a hangover and have somebody mowing the lawn right under your bedroom window? I would see him in a neighborhood bar, and I'd send him down a drink and give so-and-so a drink. And he'd drink it and leave. And I'd say, where are you going? He says, I have to go home. Supper is waiting. Supper's waiting. When I stop in for a drink, I could care less if the Pope is waiting. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. To this day, I don't understand that. But I get through my spiel. My big spiel is, I'm leaving you. Oh, I'm leaving you. I go into the bedroom, I pack my brown paper bag with my toothbrush and my underwear. She would come in and cry, Tom, what'd I do to upset you? I didn't want to upset you, Tom. Oh, God, it was sickening. For years, people had my wife believing it was her fault I drank. Then they took me to AA. They took her to that communist thing, Al-Anon. Don't laugh. Your wife goes there, your act's going right down the tube, fella. Your act, they're going to find out. They're going to find out that they learn how to be happy in spite of you. Isn't it great? I thought you were going there to learn how to help me. No. Anyway, time goes on. I'm home one night about 4 in the morning. My suitcase hits me right in the chest. She says, here, go. I can't live this way anymore, Tom. Just go. I'll go back to nursing. I'll do whatever I have to do, but I'm not going to go through this anymore. And I was happy. I was going in town. I'll get a room on the Gold Coast in Cleveland. I was going to have hot and cold running everything. I was going to get a Cadillac convertible. Oh, drink and dream, you screwy son of a gun. When you're not working too steady, you don't live in the Gold Coast. You live in an $8 a week room right behind the Avenue Bar. And your big nights out are sitting in all the local dives, peeling the labels off of beer bottles, listening to Poor Me songs. Tell me about good times. Tell me about the fun. And when do you want to see your kids? You want to see your kids at 2, 3 in the morning, so you drive out to Avon Lake in your car. Oh, God, we all got cars, huh? You know, most people in construction, we have 2 cars. We have an old beat-up junker. We drive to the steel mills, and we drive to the different jobs. And then we have a nice family car that they take their family out on the weekends. We had 1 car, an old beat-up Plymouth with ball tires and no ignition key. I'm out drinking one night, I lose the keys. My electrician buddy, who become my brother-in-law. Don't worry, Tommy, I'll fix it. And he rips out all the wires, gives me 3 wires and a clothespin. That's how I used to start the car. He'd get up in the morning, go out to the car, put the clothespin on the 3 wires, start to go to work. Traffic all around. I hit a bump. The clothespin falls and the car stops. people blowing their horns for blocks while I'm looking for the damn clothesman. And I thought it was normal. Don't everybody live like this? There's something wrong, people, when your kids are going to school with summer clothes in the wintertime and you make as much money as anybody on the block and they're dressed nice and warm. There's something wrong. She said we were separated a year and a half. I don't know. I got fed up with it. I used to go out there to see the kids, and the cops would meet me in the driveway. Hey, I want to see my kids. You're not going to see your kids. They're restraining orders. You're going to think you're John Wayne. You throw one punch, you wake up in jail, and your hair hurts. God almighty. I hope nobody here goes out, but if you do, when the cop says to you real nice, come with us, young fella. Do yourself a favor. Go with him. Go with him. I went on the wagon for about 3 weeks, and I called her up. I says, Glenn, I'm fed up with living like this. I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks, and I'd like to take you and the kids on a picnic. She says, you haven't drank in 3 weeks? I says, no. She says, okay. So I drove out Sunday, and I stopped, and I bought picnic baskets and baseball gloves. And who teaches you how to be a father? I tater salad and... And I took her and the kids down the park, and I threw the baseball, and we did this. And I did that for 3 Sundays in a row. And she thought I was a changed man, and we're going to get together. We're going to try again. And I remember we bought a house on land contract, one of those summer cottages that they remodeled and winterized in a little town. And I remember standing on the front porch, and I'm not blowing smoke, and I'm being as honest as I can be. I said, honey, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm going to go to work Monday. We're going to pay the bills like everybody else, and we're going to do what the rest of these people do. We're going to go to Florida in wintertime, and we're going to buy new cars every other year. And our kids are going to dress nice and warm. And we're going to live good, Glenn, because I'm not going to drink anymore. And everybody was so happy. And it was exactly 30 days later, I'm sitting on the front porch nursing a hangover, because sometime during that 30 days, I was so good, I deserve one. Have one, and the damn rat race starts all over again. While I'm sitting on the front porch, my brother-in-law, who was my electrician buddy, I introduced him to my wife's sister, and they got married. Oh, God, you see my father-in-law now? He's a raving maniac. Up he comes. You don't look too good. He's, gee, Tom, I got problems. I said, what do you mean you got problems? He said, well, I got drunk and driving charge. I got to go before Jensen Tuesday. I said, I don't want to hear it, Bob. I'd forward him in 5 months. I'm paying them off on time payments. I'm borrowing money from loan companies with co-signers to pay lawyers. I said, I don't want to hear about your drunken drive. He said, yeah, but I'm being sued for divorce. I said, I know. He said, how do you know? I said, I got my papers this morning, too. Wife knew Jensen was a friend of the family. He called both the wives and he said, I'll give you 2 divorces for the price of 1. Get rid of both the losers. You girls are too young and pretty to put up with that nonsense. While we're talking, a wife comes out. And she starts telling the brother-in-law, her and the brother-in-law get along great, still do, always did. Telling the brother-in-law about a minister that her and her sister were talking to, and he told them about a group of people that met at the local church on Friday nights, and they must be doing something right because they're putting their lives together, and they don't drink. And Bob says, gee, you think if I join that club, she'll hold off on a divorce? She says, I don't know, Bob, that'd be up to her. But it might be worth a shot. When you don't drink, you and her get along great. I figure, boy, there's my out. I say, but me, I'll go. I'll go to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts. I'll go anywhere. You, they don't make anything help people like you. You're just crazy. Let me, come with me. Come with me for a couple of minutes. The only thing I'm here to do is show you the difference in my life when I was drinking and my difference in my life when I'm sober. Drinking, living. My wife and her sister would not see each other for 7, 8, 9 months at a time because whenever Bob and I got together, it was a 3-day drunk. One time they stopped, they were Christmas shopping and had all the Christmas stuff in the back of Bob's car. And I says, don't worry, honey, Bob and I don't cook. Bob and I are going up to get some chickens. We'll be right back. And we went up to the corner with all the Christmas stuff and we stopped in and the guy says, takes about 20 minutes. I said, okay, we'll be right back. We'll go over and have a drink. 3 days later, we're up in the hills of Pennsylvania somewhere looking for his drunken uncle who had a distillery or something. That Christmas was shot. That Christmas and many other Christmases. Fourth of July's family get-togethers, we weren't even invited because every time we got there, everybody got drunk and we take on the family. We weren't invited anywhere. That's drunken living. Let me show you sober living. 5-6 years ago, I'll tell you later why I get confused with time, but I was asked to come out to Eugene, Oregon to speak at a conference out there. And Bob Marinade stopped at my home. And I said, Glenn and I are going out to Eugene, Oregon, and my wife doesn't fly, so we're going to drive. Bob says, you know, we never really went on a vacation. We never really took the wives out. Why don't we make a trip of it? Why don't the four of us jump in the van, leave a month early, and just bum around the country, go out there, and then come back? I said, that sounds great. I said, how do you want to go? He said, well, I don't care. We'll throw a dot on the map. We threw a dot on the map, Upper Michigan. So away we go. Boom, boom. For 5 weeks, we bummed around the country. We went to Cheyenne, Wyoming, Deadwood, Denver, all through Wisconsin, went out to Eugene, back up to Seattle, across Montana. We spent 5 weeks, or 6 weeks, bumming around the country like honeymooners. You think we were in our 20s. God almighty, living in the finest hotels, eating in the finest restaurants because you're sober, you got a few pennies in your pocket. At home, I'm married to sister, but to a nun. You get my wife in a hotel, she's a $500 a night hooker. I've got this sobriety is great. Anybody here that's been married a long time and you think your sex life is bored, get a hotel. 5 weeks, you're going to go home exhausted. I'll tell you, it's a great, it's sobriety. For a guy that slept on a couch for 18 months, that ain't bad. This AA has a lot of payoffs. God, now my brother-in-law wants to go to all of them. Where you going? California? Yeah, we'll drive. No, my wife won't. He loves it. That's sober living. Dance with your wife and she's looking at you like she's 22, her eyes are shining. Tell me about it. That's my AA. Living it here and now. Making amends. Call it what you want. I love it. Anyway, Friday night, we go to our first quote AA meeting. I'm 28, he's 26. At that time in my life, people, there's two things I know. I don't like or trust people. You're all phonies. Everybody's out for what they can get. You live in the streets, you think like the streets. We go to the Avon Lake, we go through the swinging doors, and I walk into a room, there's 20 or 30 people there, and they're talking and all dressed nice and look good. I got 35 cents in my pocket. There's no food in my refrigerator. They're turning off the gas. I can't get a job out of the hall because they know the second I get a paycheck, I'm gone. Guys, they're talking to their wives. Who talks to their wife? My wife and I don't talk. We fight. We can't talk more than 5 minutes without being at each other's throat. Standing by the door, and there's 5 or 6 guys over there telling jokes and laughing. One guy breaks away from the crowd. He comes walking towards us. He's 105 years old. Hello, it's so good to see you, young guys. This program works, fellas. I haven't had a drink in 16 years. 16 years. My legs got weak. My brother-in-law says, you got to be awful thirsty, mister. Who the hell ever heard of not drinking for 16 years? Don't talk years to me. Talk days, hours, and minutes. Tell me about the times you slam the door and slam out of the house. They don't appreciate it. They still treat me like they used to, and I haven't had a drink in 10 days. Oh. You've been kicking people in the teeth for 20 years. You're sober 10 days, you want the whole world to change. Now, don't work that way, people. You got to pay your dues. I don't care how deep your hole is. Believe me, you'll get even with the board. And you'll get the respect. But you got to work for it. Don't come easy. This guy starts telling us about this great life we're going to find. I say, mister, not me, him. I can quit anytime I want. Took Bob, went over in the corner. I went over and got myself a full cup of coffee because strangers were shaking hands with me, and I don't like that. Then they announced the lead. Oh, boy, here's the Messiah. Here's the guy that's going to make us well. Guy got up there and he was, oh, just tiptoeing through the tulips. He had a white, brand new suit, white shirt, tie. They had a cake, little cake with one candle. It was his first anniversary. It was his first lead, and his life was just beautiful. Gets up, he looks out at his wife. He says, hi, honey, I love you. She stands up and says, I love you, too. My brother-in-law pokes me. He says, what the hell are we doing here? I said, I don't know what we're doing here, you sick son of a gun. You wanted to come here. My wife's home lighting candles. Dear God, let him die. We'll get the insurance. That's what we were. That's what we were. Looks out at everybody and says, isn't it great to be sober? I got up this morning and I could smell the flowers. Smell the flowers. You're not my world, fella. You're not my world at all. I got problems. They're turning off the gas. My kids don't want to be in the same room with me. My wife sued me for divorce. I got drunk and driving charges. I can't get a job. I come here for some kind of help. I don't know what kind of help. I don't even know the questions. And you tell me if I come here for a year, you're going to give me a cake and I'm going to smell flowers? You go pound salt. You don't have any, you don't understand where I'm at. Just get done so I can get the hell out of here. Well, he finally got finished and I started towards the door as quick as I could. I wanted out. I was not impressed. And who's standing at the door but Big John? John looks at me and I'm looking at him and he's following me all the way out the door and there's only one exit. And I looked at him and I figured, oh, that's how it works. You're not going to drink tonight, Tommy. Because John's standing at the door, he's making sure you're not going to drink tonight. And I got close to the door and John put out his hand. He says, hello, young fella. I says, hello. He says, let's see. And they don't let go of your hand. 5 minutes, he told my whole story. Let's see, drunken driving, divorce. You know why I know that? I figured my wife called up and told him about me. He says, that's where I was. That's where I was. And there's people in this room come out of prisons. There's people in this room come out of hospitals. There's people in this room come out of insane asylums. People in this room come out of the streets and jails. There's also people in this room that come out of their $300,000 homes on the lake that were living like zombies. But you do yourself a favor, young fella. You bring the body here. The mind's going to catch up. You bring the body. The mind will catch up. People, my head didn't keep me sober the first year. My feet kept me sober. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to a meeting. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me to my sponsor's house. My head wanted to drink. My feet took me down to pray with Sister Ignatia. My head wanted to drink. I went home and my wife would read Al-Anon literature to me in the big book. My head didn't keep me sober. I didn't have any brains when I got here. I'd scramble eggs for a brain. I used my sponsor's head. Had to use it. I didn't have a brain of my own. How do you explain eyes? John had kind, good, wonderful eyes. How do you explain that? How do you explain somebody looking at you and not down at you? How do you explain somebody talking to you and not at you? All my life, people talk down at me and at me like I'm some kind of moral degenerate. I come in these rooms and people looked at me eyeball to eyeball, put out their hand, and treated me like I was worth something on face value. What a good feeling is that people look at you. I remember going to meetings in old times and saying, Tommy, sit here. How good it feels to walk in a crowded room and have somebody say, sit here. I wasn't even invited to family get-togethers. And here I got strangers treating me like they liked me. And they got strong eyes. They seemed to know where they were, where they're going. How do you get that? How do you get that without drinking? You get it here. You get it in these rooms. You get it in the quiet times with yourself on the way home in the car. When you make your decisions. On the way home, Bob says, what do you think? I says, they got something, Bob. I'm going back and find out what it is. It's not me. I'm too young. I got too much living to do, Tom. When I get in the problems, I don't know where to go. 18 months, he did all his living. They put him in a white coat. He was found in an attic, swallowing his tongue, almost died. I come back to your meetings, and for 4 months, I heard your success stories. Here, I had wine sores, and I slept in the streets, and now I'm sober 6 months, and I got 8 Cadillacs. I sit out there and say, bullshit. My wife and I, the only reason we're together is survival. We can't afford a divorce. I'm sleeping on the couch. That's where I slept, on the couch. My kids don't want to be in the same room with me. Because Daddy does nothing but yell and scream, all I'm giving up for you and the kids. You know I'm not drinking? Oh. How'd the meeting go, honey? What do you mean, how'd the meeting go, ain't? I damn, I'm not drinking, ain't I? I go to those meetings. What the hell's life all about? I go to meetings, go to work, go to meetings, go to work. That's what I'm going to spend the rest of my life drinking Pepsi-Cola? I'm in the kitchen, the kids go in their lovely room. They never invite their friends over because they don't know how Daddy's coming home. Let me show you the difference. Drunken living, my kids don't even be in the same room with me. Sober living, we have 6 grandchildren now. Well, now they're 3 of them are in college and the other ones are graduating from high school. But when they were younger, they wanted to be with Grandpa. They never seen Grandpa drunk. Because Grandpa's Santa Claus. Grandpa, what a soft touch. Grandpa is, oh, gee. When I come back from Naples, you know what happened? I went to Naples. I had an 85 Chrysler convertible mint, 31,000 miles. This car never seen rust, never seen rain, snow, nothing. Every year I used to get it detailed and blah, blah, blah. So I go to Naples, I lead a meeting, I come home, and I come in, drive in the driveway and in the garage, and I look over and the car's gone. So I went in the house, hi, honey, how's it, blah, blah, blah. Who's detailing the car this year? Well, I got to talk to you about that, Tom. I said, what do you mean you got to talk to me about that, Tom? She says, well, you know, it was Katie's birthday. Katie's my red-headed granddaughter. We share the moon. Oh, God, Katie and I. She's, well, Katie's was 16, and she always loved that car, so I gave it to her. I said, you did what? She's, well, you know, she looks so good in it. I said, Glenn, she could use it. And she, well, wait a minute. Well, she gets on the phone. She said, Katie, Grandpa's home. 5 minutes, Katie pulls in the driveway with the red hair flowing in the top down and runs in the house and grabs me. Oh, Grandpa, I love it. Thank you. I said, oh, I'm so happy for you. Huh? That's what you're going to do. Then it was Aaron. Aaron got a sports Camaro or whatever the hell it is. Justin. Justin gets a Taurus. Justin. Justin, when he was 7, he was doing karate. And they always have to share with Grandpa everything they do, because Grandpa isn't nuts anymore. And I'm in the kitchen making coffee, and in comes Justin. Grandpa, I learned a new move, Grandpa. I said, did what? And I turn around, he jumps up and he kicks. You know how high they kick when they're 7? You go down like a ton of bricks. You go down. I'm laying on the kitchen floor and I'm crying and I'm in deep pain. Justin jumping up and down. It works. Hey, it works. It works, you little son of a gun. My own kids don't want to be in the same room with me, and my grandkids kick me in the groin. Because there's no fear of Grandpa. Because Grandpa doesn't yell and scream anymore and act like some kind of nut anymore. Because Grandpa's there to help. Not give advice and they're just there to help. What a great thing. What a great thing. 4 months I come to your meetings and I decide that my problem isn't booze, my problem's money. If I had enough money to take care of the wife and kids, I could do anything I wanted to do. So I heard about a job out in South Dakota. They were working on the missile bases, 712s, and out I went. And as a result of 4 months sobriety there and 7 weeks out there not drinking, they put me in charge of the Titan II fuel systems. I made a lot of money. Whenever somebody worked, I got paid. I leased a 300-acre chicken ranch. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I never seen a damn live chicken in my life. I got a 300... When Alkies go, we go totally bananas. They shouldn't let us do anything. We go bleh. I figured, well, guys out there, 2,000 guys in those missile bases, they need eggs. I'll open up an egg thing in California. I'll open one in New York, New Jersey. I'll be the egg king. I'll be a millionaire. So I get the coops and I get the chickens and go to the job. And anybody need eggs, let me know. I'll bring them in or you can stop at the ranch on the way home. Rah, rah, rah. And they're taking all the orders. And some guy from Iowa says, Tommy, you ever have anything to do with chickens? I says, no. He says, you know, you got to put gravel in with the feed. That's what I mean. You got to put gravel in with the feed. He says, well, that's what makes the eggshells hard. Is that right? He says, yeah. So I called Tony. Tony was from New Jersey. He was in charge of the laborers. He'd never seen a damn chicken either. I say, Tony, would you do me a favor and bring some gravel out to the chicken coops? Don't worry, Tommy, got you covered. 10-ton truck full of gravel out to the chicken coops. Down goes the coops, down goes the chickens, break all the eggs. That was the end of the chicken career. Now you say, what the hell's that got to do with sobriety? You talk about killing chickens. I'll tell you what's got to do with sobriety. It's just an example that if you don't know what the hell you're doing, you better get a sponsor. You better get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. I'm out of the hospital 30 days. You're getting out tomorrow. I'll sponsor you. Yeah, boom, right down the tube. Get somebody that likes you enough to break your legs if he thinks you're doing something wrong. Get somebody that isn't here to win friends and influence people. He's here to save your life because that's where he gets his joy. Out of watching you make it. Don't hurt his feelings. Don't hurt his feelings. I'll break his legs. As long as he don't drink. Call the wife. I said, come on out. She says, you're going to love it out here. She said, okay, the kids get out of school next week. I'll be out. And out she come. She came out in June. Left in December twice. My family almost froze to death once the cops called. Because when she was coming out, things were going so good, I thought I'd make them better, so I stopped in for a shot and a beer. And that was the beginning of the end again. One night the cops called to come get me in jail, and she was driving in and hit a whiteout and went off the road, and if it wasn't for a fuel oil truck that found them with the lights on and my wife crawling on the road, my wife and kids would have froze to death. I'm in jail, right? Another time, one of them blizzards come and blew out all the lights and everything. I'm off in Rapid City somewhere on a drunk. I don't know what's going on. Finally, she just took all she could take. I come home. There's a note. Goodbye. Good luck. I go to the job. I lost the job. I'm not superintendent anymore because I can't read a print anymore. I got a drink to work and work to drink, so I'm back welding. I got the hood down. I hear Christmas carols in February. I'm walking into the bar on payday, and guys handing me $1,000, $1,500 worth of checks I wrote that week. Walking around on Dream Street, I think it's Saturday, it's Tuesday. Finally, one guy says, Tommy, I'm going back to Ohio, let me take you with me. We get to the back door of my house in Avon Lake, and my wife opens the door, says, I don't want the kids to see you, I don't want anybody to see you. If you got any decency left in you, get the hell out of our lives. I got the papers in for the divorce. I'll find out wherever you want, and I'll mail them to you. Just don't. No more. I go down the hall. They give me a ticket to go to work in New York. I get to work. I get to New York. I'm too sick to work. I stop in for a few drinks. Now you're sleeping in the areaways, and the hallways, and the bridges, and the railroads, the trains. And you wake up one morning, and you're in a hallway on Coney Island Avenue where your folks lived. And you hear somebody crying, and it's your mother sitting next to you, and she's sobbing so hard. My godson, go get help. I can't. You're breaking my heart. I can't see you like this. Mom, don't worry about me. I'm all right. You're all right. Look at you. You look like your death warmed over. That's drinking living. Well, let me just show you what sober living is. Same guy comes into AA. As a result of 15 years of sobriety and people helping him, he goes into business for himself with his sons. And engineers in the program help him, and lawyers in the program help him, and bookkeepers in the program help him and show him how to do things. And he becomes very lucky, very successful, and we become very comfortable. Same guy goes down to Florida to visit his sponsor in Fort Myers. About 78 degrees in February, and he says to his sponsor, he's, my God, would my folks love to be here. They're still up in New York in the snow and the wind. He's, Tommy, there's a house for sale right down the street. So he gets down the street and he buys the house. He gets back to Brooklyn. He says, Mom, you don't need anything but a toothbrush. Come on. And he takes his mom and dad to Florida and puts them in the house. And now you got a woman crying, and she's hugging you, and she's calling all her relatives and saying, come on down. Tom bought this house for us. But they're tears of joy. That's my AA. That's my AA. See a mother just beaming? And all the hurts that you caused for years, you can ease some of that pain? That's my AA. They call it making amends. You think getting things are good? Where do you start giving? Oh, my God. Decided to commit suicide. Well, nobody loves me. AA don't work, nothing works. So I go down to the 3rd Avenue, yell, and I get up where the trains run, and I was going to jump. And I get up there, and I look over, and I see these great big boulders, those big, big rocks. And I had a spiritual awakening. Something said, suppose you hit the rocks and you don't die. Oh, God, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. I don't want to hurt people. I don't know any alky that wants to hurt. Wife sent me money to come home. And the only reason she sent me money to come home is she was having a tough time raising 4 kids and trying to work. And she figured if I got in town, at least maybe I could give her a few bucks. I get back into town. I sweat it out for 5 days. I get down to the hall. They give me a 3-day job. They say, look, down the mill for 3 days. We'll hide you. Get a check and get the hell out of town. You get a check, you stop into a bar to cash, and you wake up in jail. And you don't know why you're there, and you're crying all night. The cop walks by, his boy, you did this time, Burns. And you know what the hell you did. And now you're scared. God, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm crazy, God. I'm different than you. I'm nuts. You went home, you trashed the whole house. Everything she worked for, everything that was given to her, all the furniture, the dishes, you just wrecked it. And she don't drop the charges this time. And you wake up the next morning, you look between the bars, and who's standing there but your nutty brother-in-law? And he's bright-eyed, and he's clean, and he looks great. He's Tom, he says. First I said to him, I said, can you imagine I'm in jail again? He laughed at me. He said, of course I can imagine you in jail again. You're just like me. When you drink, you're crazy. I haven't had a drink in 8 days, Tom. 8 days, you can't go 8 days. 8 days, Tom. They put me in straps. I went to detox. I go to 2 meetings a day. If they don't send you away, Tom, I'll take you with me tonight. They put me on probation, and that night a man that was old enough to be my father come with him, and they took me to Lorraine St. Mary's. And I can't tell you anything about the lead. But I remember the guy sitting at the table next to us. When the meeting was over, the guy that became my sponsor shook hands with him. Said, see you next week. And I grabbed him. I said, how do you know you're going to see him next week? How do you know you're going to be sober next week? How do you just take for granted, see you next week? I don't even know if I'm going to make it home tonight. And you're going to see him next week? He's back off and come with me. And we went to a drugstore. We got vitamin B, Karo syrup, orange juice, and honey. Went to my kitchen table. He poured out the vitamin B pills, mixed the honey and the orange juice, said, take them and drink that. You talk about a third step? I didn't have a God, people. I didn't have any faith in anything, but I had faith in this man. He was sober 12 years, and he had the good eyes, and he had the secret, and whatever he wanted me to do, I was going to do, because I was afraid not to. And I took the pills, and I drank the juice, and I took the pills, and I drank the juice, and finally he said, what time is that? It's 10 after 12. Did you have a drink today? I says, no. He says, you got it. I said, I got what? He's got the program. I got what program? What the hell are you talking about? I got the. You haven't had a drink in 24 hours. That's bottom line. There's more, but you're not ready. I'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Do you realize you'll have 1/3 of today in? Oh, God, keep it simple. Keep it simple. 8 o'clock in the morning, he was at my front door. We went into Stella Maris. He got me a shot of vitamin B. We went to 2 discussion groups. He took me home. I had dinner. He picked me up. We went to a meeting. And I became a mechanical man. Meetings, 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 and more meetings. And I seen times I left home. I leave that job. I'm going home tonight. I'm not going anymore to damn goody-goody meetings. Nothing's changed. I'm still in hock. We're still fighting. I'm still sleeping on the couch. What the hell is this sobriety all about anyway? All I do is go to those meetings. I'm going home tonight. I'm going to get drunk. Change clothes, shower up, change clothes, start out the front door, 2 AA sitting on my porch. Hi, Tom, how you doing? Going to a meeting, huh? You bet your life you're going to a meeting. Thank God. They knew me better than I knew myself, people. Meetings, 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 meetings. And things at home weren't good. The only reason we weren't divorced is we couldn't afford it. There was survival. That was the only reason we were together, survival. There was no respect, no love, no trust, no nothing. I go to a meeting and somebody says, any anniversaries? And somebody said, Tom's sober a year. And everybody claps. Oh, I got a head that big. I get out in the car, I'm driving home. This guy says, "Hey, Tommy, you still sleeping on the couch?" "Yeah, why?" "I don't know, she don't want to sleep with me." "Well, hell, you work, put her on the couch." "Yeah, yeah, you sleep in the bed." "Yeah, yeah." "Damn right, okay." This guy says, "You're still giving her checks every week?" "Yeah." "You're still broke?" "Yeah." "She don't know how to handle money." "Is that right?" "No, she don't know how to handle money." "You handle the money." "Damn right." "You're sober a year?" "Right, right." I'm the only one in the car. I have these conversations even when I was drinking. I'd be sitting in a bar in Cleveland and some guy say, "You been to St. Louis?" "No." "Good town." "Yeah, yeah, let's go." "Okay, don't go." I was listening to the Nutty Ones. I don't know why. That's how I spend my whole life, keeping the nuts out of my head. That's how I get me out of the way, get them out of the way. When they're not around, I do great. The second they come, boy, I go nuts. When I go on one of my tangents now, she says, "Stick it, Burns," whatever the hell that means. Yeah. "I'm going to stick it, Burns." "Whoa, Burns, there." We have great big gardens. People come from all over the country with buses to see our gardens because that's what you always wanted. So we have herb gardens and vegetable gardens and every flower known to man. You know what my job is? Mulch. I mix the horse shit with it. That's what I do. She don't let me near the grass, the flower, nothing. Now you go mix the mulch. Yeah, that's what I do. And I love it. Put the boots on, get in the garden, and come turn over there. Whenever I get aggravated with the world, I go make mulch. It's a good way to go. You learn to laugh at yourself. You stand there and say, "Look at this. Oh, God. I can't tell you. Keith got me some clubs, and I went sober living. I went golfing this morning. Rich York gave me some balls. And I stood on one of those holes. I looked out those mountains. I said, "Hey, Keith, when we're drunk from Brooklyn, look at this." He says, "Yeah, isn't it great that we can do this? But God, let's never forget where we come from." I can't. I don't want to. I'm here. Blah, 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 blah. One reason, I hope we leave here with a little gratitude tonight. Keep it sober the rest of the night. I never dreamed life would be so good. I get home, I walk in the back door, I walk in, she's sitting in the living room reading those books. That's all she ever does, read them communist books. I say, "From now on, there's new game rules. From now on, I sleep in the bed. You sleep on the couch. I work. And from now on, I'm going to handle the money because you apparently don't know how to handle money because we're still in debt. And from now on," and she says, whoa. Never said whoa before she got with you people. Now it's whoa. I said, "What do you mean, whoa? Do you know what today is?" She says, "Do I know what today is?" She says, "Go out in the kitchen, look at the calendar." And I'm out in the kitchen, great big red circle. July the 5th. Tom sober, 1 year today. Still crazy. She come out and she said, "You know, I used to think our problem was booze. I used to think you run, raved, yelled, and screamed, and act like some kind of spoiled brat. Because the booze made you crazy, but I know you haven't had anything to drink in a year, and you're still crazy. And I'm fed up of being your whipping post, and the kids are fed up of being your whipping post, and all these things that you're going to do that you can't do because you can't drink and you live with us, go do them. I'll go see an attorney next week. I can't live with you drunk or sober." And I went to the meeting and I yelled and screamed the old timer, "You lied to me. You told me things were going to get better. My wife's divorcing me." "Oh, Tom, I never got divorced." "Bill, did you get it?" "Yeah, come here. Tell Tom about divorces." "Oh, Tom, they're great. You're going to get spiritual, Tom. She's going to take every damn material thing you own, Tom." I go to a meeting. I'm sober 14 months, and the guy gets up here and he tells my story. He was sober 6 years, and his wife was sitting in the audience, and she was looking at him like he was some kind of movie star. And there was respect and love in her eyes. And he got a new job, and they got a new apartment, and they were going on their first vacation. 6 years sober, they're going on, her and him and the two kids were going down to Tennessee on a houseboat vacation. And yeah, they had bills, and that thing's rough, but they were making it. They could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Their lives were coming back. And he ended his lead. He says, take it home, Yo-Yo. Take the program home. Don't come in here giving advice to new men, all the great spiritual advice, and tell them how great this program is. If in my home my kids look at me with fear in their eyes, and my wife looks at me with fear in her eyes, and I come here for help, and you tell me how great this program is, and I go to your house and I watch your wife look at you with fear, and your kids look at you with fear, I know you have nothing I need. Don't tell me about the big book. You show me the big book. You live the big book. Then I'll believe you. But don't tell me all you know about the big book and I see you're not it. You haven't got anything to give me. Take it home. That's where. You know why we take it home? Those of us who've been around a while, we think take it home. We know the toughest time you're going to have staying sober is when you're fighting at home. It's easier to stay sober when things at home are good. When there's some payoffs, when you and the wife are going out to a show and dinner, when you're taking the kids to Cedar Point or you can buy them clothes or whatever, it's easier to stay sober when there starts being some payoffs. I mean, you can live in some hotels. It's great. I sat down at a table with a bunch of old-timers. What does he mean, take it home? How do you take it home? Don't tell me to do something, then not tell me how to do it. Okay, so when was the last time you said thanks for a nice supper? What do you mean, thanks for a nice supper? I buy the food. She better cook it. One of the old... What's this? Who's his sister? What's that? What is that? One of the old-timers grabbed me and said, can I talk to you over there a minute? I figured he needed some advice. Took me over in the corner and said, Burns, you're self-centered, selfish son of a gun. When are you going to grow up? A little over a year ago, you were sleeping in the weeds. Did you forget that? Now you got a warm bed to sleep in. You got a family. You got a job. You got a few bucks in your pocket. You got more blessings you'll ever deserve. All you do is moan and groan. You're sober 14 months. You haven't got a Cadillac. Isn't that a damn shame? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to learn how to say thank you, God, for the things you have? There are four absolutes. One of them is unselfishness. Put in your life if you can and see what happens. He walked away. And I know if I don't change, I'm going to drink again, so I know I better do something, because if I don't do something... On the way home, I stop. I buy a box of chocolate-covered cherries. $1.89. Big deal, huh? Chocolate-covered cherries. And a card that you would give somebody that was in the hospital. Thanks for being there when I needed you. Love, Tom. Joe Yo-Yo from the street. I'm going to be a lover. I walk into the back door. I don't even have the guts to give it to her. I put it on the kitchen table. I walk in the living room. I says, you know, Glenn, I know you feel about the divorce. I never talked to her like this before. I never talked to her like she had a brain. I never talked to her like she had feelings. It just didn't dawn on me. I heard a guy talk tonight, Glenn, and damn it, you know him and his wife are going on a vacation? And they're taking the kids on a houseboat trip. You know, I want to do that, Glenn. I want to live like those people that we see that are happy. I want to take our kids on vacations, and I want us to be happy. I'm going to change. I'm going to be like him. And if give me a few months. If you don't see something happening, I'll leave and give you whatever you need. But damn it, if I change, we could have a hell of a life together. And she smiled. She said, who led the meeting? Jesus. Couldn't believe anything was happening. They're nutty. She said, I'll make some coffee. And she went out in the kitchen. It wasn't 2 minutes I heard her crying. And I went out in the kitchen. She had the card and the candy and all the years of pain. Just the dam broke. And the tears flowed. I stood on one side of the kitchen table. She stood on the other. I cried and she cried. And we talked. And we hugged. And we talked and we hugged. Because I listened. We talked at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we got out envelopes, and we put 10 a week in this one, 20 a week in that one, 30 a week in this. We start paying the bills. Anybody on the couch? You get a box of candy. I used to think it was big things. It's not big things. It's little things, people. Little things. Hey, babe, how about coming in and having lunch with me today, and then we'll go play some golf? Is that a big deal? Let them know you're thinking of them. And this is a marriage counseling. This is my AA. This is the first time I thought of anybody but me. Get yourself out of the way. I come home from work. I was sober 18 months, and my wife said, "Say, Tom, see that $30 on the kitchen table?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's ours. That's our $30, Tom." Saturday morning, I packed her and the kids in my new used car, and we drove out to Sandusky, Ohio. We bought $30 worth of pancakes, strawberries, and whipped cream. And my daughter, who was 4 then, sitting at the booth with us. "Daddy, can I more strawberries?" You can be a strawberry. And I filled a bowl of strawberries. And she took the strawberries and kissed me on the cheek and said, "Daddy, I love you." That's my AA. And we were going out in the car. My sons jumped in the front seat, opened the door and run in the front seat because they wanted to be with me. That's my AA. And then we went on skiing trips, and we went on houseboat trips, and we went on golf trips, and to this day we go on trips. Every Sunday they take money off me on the golf course, them two hustling sons. We're tight. We're in the business together, and we're tight. I go to my sponsor, I say, "Look, I'm getting better jobs. I'm the superintendent of this shop now, and I'm this, I'm that, and things are going great." Midnight, my phone rings, says, "Pick me up, Burns, about time you did some 12-step work." And I went to his house at midnight. We went to a little summer cottage. It was just like mine used to be. And we walk in, and there's a woman standing by the kitchen sink. She got a great big bruise on her face, and she's crying. Two kids, 5 and 6 years old, standing by the kitchen door, peeking around. They got sneakers and underwear on Sunset. Then went cottages. And they're looking at me, and they're crying, and they're afraid like my kids used to be. And I look in, and there's a lump on the couch. This is just a summer cottage. There's a lump on a couch, just a lump. And she says, "My husband asked me to call and he died." And I went in, I picked him up, I listened for a heart, I listened for a breath. I used, "Son of a gun, why'd you have to die in my first 12-step call? Why am I going to tell the guys Friday night? I tried to carry the message, I get a corpse. What the hell you want me to do?" I went back out to the kitchen, I grabbed the old timer, I say, "This guy isn't breathing, is he? We better." He went over to her, he said, "Lady, do you have anything in the house to drink?" She said, "I got a bottle of wine." He took the wine in a glass, walked in the living room, hit them together, says, "Hey, buddy, want a drink?" He sat right up. I said, "Look at that, they even raised the dead." And you know what impressed them? I'll tell you what impresses the drunk. It's crazy. He filled the glass, the guy drank it down to about there, and he filled it again. And the guy said, "Boy, you're all right." "Damn right we're all right." "Want to go to a party with us?" "Yeah." June. Right down to Bayview, down the ramp. Give him a shower, put him to bed. I get home about five in the morning. I change clothes. I eat, I go to work. I get home from work about 5 at night. I don't even want to eat. I go take a shower, I'm going up to bed, and the phone rings. It's the old timer. "Did you stop and see the new man?" I said, "No, I didn't stop and see the new man. I worked all day. I'm tired. I'm going to bed." He said, "No, you're not. You're going down to see the new man." I said, "No, I'm not. I don't like the new man. You put him in there, he's going to be there 6 days. I don't care if you're tired, you're not tired, you like him, you don't like him. You get down there, and every day your life is in his life is in your hands. You get down there." "Bill, I don't know what to tell him." "Who the hell says you got to tell him anything? How about bringing them some cigarettes and letting them know somebody cares enough to be there? Can you do that?" I go down, I buy cigarettes, I go to the hospital. He's sitting in the room. I walk in with the cigarettes. I say, "Hello, how are you?" "The food okay? Everything okay?" "Look, my sponsor says I got to come here and give you cigarettes and talk to you. Here's cigarettes. I don't care if you smoke. You don't smoke. Smoke the damn cigarettes." He took a cigarette, put it in his mouth. I lit it, and he said, "Thanks." You know why he's Joe Hard Guy? Because he don't remember going to hospital. He don't know how he got to the hospital. He don't know if he has a wife. He don't know if he has a family. He don't know if he has a job. He don't know anything. He's coming off a 3-day blackout. And when I tell him, "I know how you feel. I woke up in jail and I didn't know where, blah, blah." And he says, "You know." I said, "Damn right I know. I've been there." That's the beginning of sponsorship. You have nothing until he knows you know. It's in the big book. That's when the bond starts. You tell him about you have a friend that did that. You have a blah, blah, blah. I read about them. No. He has to know you know. Now you start. And we got to be pretty good friends. I'm taking meetings. Every night I'm taking on meetings. You should have seen me. I was playing God. I was picking out the meetings he goes through. I was picking out the leads he should hear. He gets in my car, he's sober 3 months. He says to me, God, his sponsor, did you read the 24-hour book today? I said, no, I didn't read the 24-hour book today. It's great, Tom. It's great. I went to the meeting, I bought one, little black 24-hour book. He gets in my car, he's sober 5 months. He says, fifth chapter blows your mind, don't it? I bought a big book. I don't know where you were. I hope to God you get into that book, the sooner the better. But by the time I read these three lines and I got to the next three lines, I didn't know what they were. I had scrambled legs for a brain. I got AA in church basements, kitchens, going to meetings an hour and a half from the house in cars and getting ripped apart, going down and put back together, coming home. Sitting at my sponsor in coffee shops till all hours of the morning and going down and listening and listening and listening. My wife reading books to me. I couldn't comprehend. 8 months, I get a call from this guy's wife, and she's crying. She says, Tom, can you please come down the house? And I figured, that son of a gun's drinking, I'll break his back. That's all I did. And I go running up to that house. I get out of the car, and I'm walking up the driveway, and I heard a screen door slam. And I looked up, and here comes this little woman, and she's crying. And she takes my hands and puts them behind my back and kisses me on the cheek. And she says, God bless you, Tom Burns, and God bless AA. And that's when it happens, people. That's when AA goes from the head to the heart. That's when it gets in your blood. I can't separate my life from AA anymore. I can separate my fingers from my hand. It's all AA don't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. You swell up. My God, I'm a drunk, and I got a woman blessing me. Crying. What'd I do? Two kids come running out. Uncle Tom, now you're Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom, come on in. And you run in the house with them, and there's the he's standing by the bed, and there's a bed full of dresses and slips and Levi's and shoes, a little bicycle, a refrigerator full of food. You want to see AA? Watch a six-year-old kid with a new pair of Levi's jumping up and down saying, look what my dad got me, look what my dad got me. And his eyes are that big. And looking at his dad like he's some kind of Superman. That's AA. He went and got a job, went to the credit union, borrowed $1,200, and they went Christmas shopping in June. Had a... And I don't hug, but I hugged him. Going home, as God, I may not know what you look like or what you do or anything else, but I seen the results. And I don't know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep moving the feet, God. You keep running ahead because I like this. And I went home and I said to my wife, I was like, God, Glenn, I wish you would have seen those kids. I wish you could have seen that family. I wish you could have seen that house. She says, I never seen you so happy. You want to get happy? Forget yourself. You got problems? Oh, we all got problems. Put them on a piece of paper. Put them by the coffee. When you go get coffee, read all the problems. 99% of you will take your own back. Believe me, people, forget yourself. So for the next 20 years, we sponsor people. Our house is like an AA house with coffee and round, big, old-fashioned oak table. And my son, Chris, has 15 years of sobriety. And whenever they get new people, they bring them to my house because Dad's the old-timer, has all the answers. Wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, sit on the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, six guys talking. I don't say two words in an hour and a half. They leave. They say, boy, he sure straightened us out. I didn't say anything. Just sit there and listen. The longer you're around, you're going to realize the less you know. When I was sober 12 years, I knew answers for everybody. Now I got to play it by ear, right? Here's the answer. Take this. Here's the answer. So I start going around the country leading, start doing things, start sponsoring hundreds, and people come to our house, and boy, I think I'm just great. Go into business and make money, buy cars, kids... And I'm thanking God, and I'm thinking, oh, isn't this wonderful, this great life? Mr. AA. My daughter comes in the program. She's sober 3 years, and she gets a job with an advertising agency that handles the Coca-Cola account. And she's traveling all over the world telling me about AA and Aruba and here. And we visit her in Tennessee, Washington. We visit her in New Orleans. My life is just beautiful. My daughter used to come home between assignments. We sit at the kitchen table all night and drink coffee and talk about AA all over the world. She comes home and says, my next assignment, Dad, is in Florida, and I don't want any moving companies touching my antiques. I said, you don't worry, babe. I get a company truck. I get loaded up all her antiques. We get down to Florida, south of Miami somewhere. Moving in this place, there's pools and young people and old people and security guards. My God, it was gorgeous. I said, come on, we'll go out and eat. You nope. You and Mom go out and eat. I'm going to fix up the apartment because tomorrow morning I want to make breakfast for you. So next morning she made breakfast. She gave me a letter how much I mean to her and what a great life and a father and a mother. She's now, I'm going to get all this set, and whenever you want and Mom want to come down and use the place, you come down because I'll be on the road and rah, rah, rah. So we went home and visited our sponsor, and then we went home. And a policeman come to the door 10 days later and says, I'm sorry to tell you that your daughter was murdered. Some drug addict broke in, seen the antiques, needed money for drugs, and she woke up and he killed her. Now you go out in the backyard, now you find out what you really believe. And what I believe is, God, you can go to hell. You do this. You kill people. You let things like this happen. I'm going to get a shotgun. I'm going to go down the floor, I'm going to find that, and I'm going to blow his head off. And I don't care what you do. And AA's come to your house and tell you, you got to forgive. I get the hell out of my house. You go to meetings and they say the Lord's Prayer and you say, go to hell. And for 3 years, you don't sleep. You go to bed at 11, you wake up at 12, and you walk the floor all night because you got to get at him. Finally, they catch him. And you go through a year and a half of trials. Oh, geez, you want to go nuts? Try that. Finally, they send him away, supposedly, for 175 years. Now I hear he get out in 2 or 3 years, but that's beside the point. But the point I'm making is for 3 years, you don't sleep, you don't eat, you break all your spiritual world. You break the contact. You have no faith in nothing. You get in the car to go to work, you drive up the Lake Road, you forget which way to turn. You don't know what day it is half the time. You cry when the sun hits you, you cry, you go up to the grave, you cry. It's all you do is cry. And hate, and you fill up, and it kills you like a cancer. Because the only thing you want to do is kill somebody. I'll go down there, and I'll start an AA meeting in that jail. When it comes to the meeting, I'll cut his throat. You're thinking all the time how to kill somebody. And finally you go to the kitchen sink one day and you don't even know your own name. Because they tell me that the chemicals in the brain got burnt out. The transformers has like operating with no oil and it's short circuiting. And your wife comes in from shopping. And you don't want her to see you like that and get out. Well, she runs up to the golf course and gets Chris and another AA and they come down the house in 5 minutes. My son Chris is 6'5". Puts his arm around my shoulder. He says, Dad, you're not God. You can crack up. Everybody's saying Tom's sober 23 years. He can make it. You're not going to make nothing. He says, let me take you up to the emergency room, Dad. You go up to the emergency room, and the doctor says, how do you feel, Mr. Burns? You say, I don't care if I live or die. Never say that to a doctor. Never say that to a doctor. They put you in a little room for your own protection. My son says, you're not going to put my dad in any room. They call my family doctor. They put me in a ward type thing. And guy comes in. He says, when was the last time you slept? I said, I don't know. They give you a little pill. They knock you out for about 4 days. You walk around like a zombie. People come in and ask you questions about your mother. And do you love your mother? Do you love your... Blah, 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 and you just... AAs want to come visit. You don't want to see nobody. You're laying there and you're in hate, hate, hate. 2 weeks, they send you home. They say, how you doing? You get home. You're not in the house an hour. And it all comes back. So they send you back. And you're there 2 more weeks. And apparently nothing is happening. I'll show you how strong this program is. Who walks in the room but your son? He has 5 years of sobriety, and he has this book with him. Let me show you how powerful this book is. Has this book with him. And he walks in the room, he says, Dad, these people can help you mentally, and they can help you physically, but I'm going to help you spiritually, Dad, me and this book. As you take that book and your God and get the hell out of here, he killed my daughter. And your son says, where in the hell did you get that God? Where's the God we found in AA, Dad? Where's the God that brings people back from the dead? Where's the God that gave me my family back? Where's the God you told me about all my life that's a loving God and a helping God? My God don't kill. Don't blame my God for killing. He don't kill. He gives life. Now, why don't you borrow my God, Dad? Because I don't know where you got that sick God you got, but you better borrow mine so you get one of your own. Dad, the second part of the first step is that my life is unmanageable. You didn't drink, but your life's unmanageable, Dad. So let me sponsor you. We'll get through these 12 steps with my life's unmanageable. Take that part of the first step and put it with the gambling, put it with the blonde down the street, put it with any problem you can't handle, and you watch how it straightens out. And I found a God. And I found a life again that I never knew existed. We do business, and my sons would cover for me. They answer questions. They ask me questions about schedules and this and that. I would light my pipe, and my sons would answer the questions. My sons covered me for 2 years. Nobody knew I was sick. Went back to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Boy, Mr. Burns, you're 40% back." And my son says, "That's great. He used to operate with 20%. When he was before he got sick, he was operating with 20%. I'm going to tell you something I found out in this world, people. If it don't bleed, the hell with it. You can replace jobs, houses, cars, money, bank accounts. I used to worry about retirement. If it don't bleed, the hell with it. The only thing that's important in this world is people. Everything else can be replaced. Bring the body. Bring the body. The mind's going to catch up. Good night.